Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Merry Christmas. This morning, we get some beautiful readings that really plumb the depth, so to speak, of who Jesus is. We've got John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Okay, when we're talking about the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, right, who lies in the manger. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Wow, and He's the light who enlightens everyone coming into the world. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay, so that kind of glory. And then in our epistle reading, similarly, we get some profound things spoken of Jesus. "In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power." All right, so as Jesus is lying there, a baby, He's upholding the universe with the word of His power. Amazing. But we're gonna focus in on glory this morning. So I'm going to read this phrase again. "He is the radiance of the glory of God." Last night we focused in on glory to God in the highest. Right? Glory to God in the highest. Jesus came to draw our attention upwards, that we might give glory to God in the highest. This is what glory is all about. Glory is an interesting word. In Hebrew, the word glory means weight. It's kavod. It's actually weight. So you imagine if you give a lot of weight to something, it's important, right? And you might recognize the gravity of the situation. And you're saying, "Well, this is a heavy situation. This is a big deal." If you give a lot of weight to something, you're saying, "This is deserving of my attention." And generally speaking, big things do draw attention, right? You stand at the bottom of a skyscraper and you go, "Whoa." Right? And then another way that glory is pictured is with light, okay? Or you could say shininess, all right? If it's glorious, then it's shining, and that draws your attention, all right? It's shiny. So for example, again, you may have presents sitting around your tree, and there's maybe a big one, you know, it's maybe holding a lot of weight, and maybe it's sparkly, and you're just wondering, you know, just the idea of what's in there is drawing your attention. You're giving that thing glory. Or when a man asks a woman to marry him, right? He's giving her glory in the sense that she is shiny, right? She stands out from all the other women. She stands out. Right? She's shiny. So the man gives her glory by drawing attention to her, right? And that's actually just what attention is, okay? Attention is singling something out from the massive, you know, I guess, the various possibilities. I look around the room. There are all kinds of things that could draw my attention, right? But one thing draws my attention, and it stands out from the rest, okay? This is just what attention is. So glory is this grabbing of attention. It's also a kind of a giving of attention. So we say glory to God in the highest. We're saying right? Give him attention. You say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. We've seen his shininess. He stands out among people. Now, we're about to enter the season of Epiphany pretty soon here, right? January 6th is the Epiphany, but we're going to enter the season of Epiphany, and throughout the season of Epiphany, his glory is going to grow. He's going to become more and more shiny. So there are just classic readings in Epiphany like the wedding at Cana, his first miracle where you go, whoa, or his baptism where the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove and there's a voice from heaven and we see the Trinity and whoa, you know, you start to see there's something about this guy. He's shining. The heavens are opening. Right? And then finally, at the end of Epiphany is the transfiguration where he's literally shining, right? Because this is the point. It's like, now we see his glory for a moment. And then we have Lent. And then he's glorified through the crucifixion and resurrection, right? And then now we've seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this glory, it's this shininess that draws our attention. You could say it's the capacity to draw attention. Something that's glorious draws attention. And of course, the story of sin is the story of our lapse in attention. In Romans 1, Paul summarizes the fall into sin, you could say, and says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God with images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So rather than give glory to the immortal God, who's invisible, they glorified images of mortal man and animals and creeping things and such, right? And we give glory to coffee and to all kinds of things, right? We give glory to ourselves when we puff ourselves up with pride. We give glory to earthly things when we make idols of them, right? When we give our attention to them, when we act as though they are things to be enjoyed in and of themselves. So Christ is the radiance of the glory of God. The radiance of the glory of God. Okay, so radiance. Glory is light. It's a shiny thing, right? Glory makes something stand out. Well, Jesus Christ is the radiance of the glory of God. Now think about that. Jesus is the radiance. He is the shininess of the glory of God. And that's a gift. That's God's grace for our sake, that his glory would shine, right? That Jesus would be the light that who enlightens everyone coming into the world. He did that just for you and for me, right? He comes to us to draw our attention so that our foolish hearts wouldn't just remain darkened, so that we wouldn't just give glory to earthly things, right? Paul says somewhere, they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Right? This is where we could have been left had not God, well, spoken in the past by the prophets, right? In many and various ways, and now spoken to us by his Son, who himself is the radiance of God's glory. That light piercing your heart, right, by his grace, just to draw your attention to himself and in himself to draw your attention upward to the Father. Little note on the Trinity here. So it's not as though God is the source of light and then Jesus is this secondary thing. Right? And that's why in the Nicene Creed we say of one substance with the Father. It's to say it's not that Jesus doesn't have like the glory of the Father, or isn't God like the Father is God, right? That God would send the Son and the Son would give the Spirit. This is just God's gracious pouring out of His love and enlightening with the knowledge of Himself, right? Otherwise, it's just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Equally God, equally all things. But then there's this outpouring for our sake, and this is the shape of it. Right? Christ is the radiance of God's glory for our sake, for us and for our salvation. And so this Christmas and, well, throughout the year, every day, we bask in the radiance of the glory of God as we look to Christ and give Him glory. How do we give Him glory? By paying attention to Him, right? By looking to Him, by remembering Him. By worshiping Him. That's what it means that He's our Lord, as He rules us by faith. And so I pray that in all our homes, at our tables, right, on our couches, in our decisions, in our conversations as family, that we would give glory to Christ, that we would give Him our attention, that as we celebrate Christmas, we would be celebrating Christ. And God's pouring out of His love for us. God's grabbing of our attention by His gracious outpouring, by His gracious radiance, by His shininess. And by basking in the light of the radiance of the glory of God, we become light. This is how it works. This is why Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Right? And says, a light should be shining on a hill, right? You don't cover it up. You are the light of the world as you bask in the light. Pray that others would see that light and would recognize the true light which enlightens everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.